That was good. That was an excellent. We have good burn. Good stage two burn on this podcast.
Hell yeah. I don't know what that is, but hell yeah.
It's like I'm doing like a mission control, like a Houston, like they talk about how the rocket's burning.
Is that when the thing gets like detached from the from the vessel? When the rocket gets detached from the actual spacecraft?
Goes the off shaft. The big rocket.
The head stays on. The head is what penetrates.
It's when space. It's when you know the craft. It's when the craft gets circumcised in midair. Yeah. Hey, welcome to our podcast, everybody. Sorry, you caught us in the middle of a rich discussion on space travel. A couple of Elon Musks over here.
Never liking me.
Never to the Musk man.
Never to the Musk.
To Rocket Jesus. No. This is a podcast will never help you, our pony. Not affiliated with Genuine Estate, the first ever podcast in recorded history. As always, I am with you, your intrepid host, Juan, as in... boy, I ran out of these pretty quickly, huh?
Not like, number two.
There's the moon, there's the avatar, and there's the number, and then that's it. I really can't do any more jokes on Juan. I gotta think of a new bit. I'm stalling because I can't remember your name.
Oh, it's Scabby-Doo.
Oh, man. That was, you know what? That was worth the, 45 seconds of pre-pro you did. That was really, that's a good ROI.
That was our entire pre-production. Me just going like,
Fuck, that was Scabby. Good. That makes up for me not having a good one.
There you go.
Great.
I'm always picking up the dead weight.
Yeah, you're always.
That's not true at all.
God, you're the Michael Jordan of this podcast. Just carrying us, kicking and screaming to the championships.
The regionals, please.
Podcast regionals.
Podcast regionals. Please donate to our funds so that we can make it to podcast regionals.
Please buy our
chocolate bars. We're so close. We're so close. We're so close.
Please buy some magazine subscriptions.
Some Blue Apron subscriptions, please. Alright, so, as usual, starting off with video games.
Let's do it.
Hit that bumper. So, this week, I see that we might be wanting to talk about... hotly anticipated video game release, Death Stranding.
Yep. It's got... Nobody knows anything about it. For all
we
know...
That's pretty much, if you look at the marketing agency responsible for this video game, that's kind of their... That's their document. Like, that's their roadmap. Nobody knows anything about this game. And it's just... And, anything is, underlined three times.
Anything. It's like that scene in Toy Story where Woody turns his head around 360. Nobody knows anything about this game, and, boy, Hideo Kojima's probably, boy, I sure am glad I'm Hideo Kojima and not literally anybody else, because I don't think people would be so amenable to this particular style of guerrilla marketing.
Which is it guerrilla marketing?
No, it's not guerrilla marketing, but I mean, it's like, okay, here's a pie chart of our marketing budget, and...
it's a dot with the question mark on it.
No, it's two slices. One slice is 5%, and that's a cool synth
Norman
soundtrack.
Norman Reedus' ass.
No, it's a cool synth soundtrack. With, that sort of capitalizes on the sort of 80s renaissance that we're going through right now. Which is, the fifth 80s renaissance we've had in the last, decade or so.
It's been 84 years since the 80s.
Yeah. And then the other 95% is, thank you, Norman Reedus' ass, you stepped on it. But also Norman Reedus being pregnant, which is...
Mpreg
Norman Reedus.
I mean, to be fair... That is
no, go ahead.
Pretty alluring content.
Here's what I think the pregnancy is. I think it's... No, hear me out.
It's a very promising start to a conversation.
We're gonna extrapolate what the gameplay is like.
Am I pregante?
girlfriend is Prego. Okay, listen, I think, do you know how in Super Mario you start out real small?
Yes.
And then you eat a mushroom and then you get big?
Yeah.
I think that the player character for Death Stranding is the baby. You eat a mushroom and then you turn into Norman Reedus.
Calorie, mate.
Yeah, it's a calorie, mate. But then as soon as Norman Reedus takes a hit, he evaporates and you turn back into a baby.
Perfect.
That's my theory. And I think if we could ask Shigeru, if he were here right now, he would sort of solemnly nod his head and say, yes, I envisioned a smaller Mario piloting the large Mario.
So you're saying that the Super Mario Brothers, we've been asking for a mecha property from Nintendo, but all this time it was staring us right in the face?
Yep. It was there the whole time, we just didn't see it.
I see.
The technology of the time sort of prohibited them telling the story the way it was supposed to be told.
Now that the technology has caught up with the concept.
Yeah. And if you really think about it, like, what is Bowser if not the most low-rent kaiju?
That's not right.
Yes, it is.
We respect Bowser in this house. Actually, you know, this is impromptu, but now we get to talk about the Bowser's Inside Story remake that they're doing for the 3DS.
What?
Yeah, you know in that direct that everybody lost their shit over because they announced Smash Brothers?
Yeah.
They also announced in 2019, which means that in the year of 2019, Nintendo thinks that people are still going to be using their 3DSs.
Boy, howdy.
They are releasing a Bowser's Inside Story remake for the 3DS, which is a fine game. Bowser's Inside Story is probably the best Mario and Luigi game.
Yeah.
Probably one of the better RPGs that Nintendo has ever made.
Yeah, definitely. Agree.
But it made me realize that that game is basically someone's DeviantArt account just come to life.
Yeah.
Have you played it?
I've played it, actually. Yeah, I played that one, and I also played the first one.
Because I was thinking about it, and there's, like, inflation.
Yep.
There's transformation. There's vor.
There's a lot of vor. So much.
And I think there's feet stuff. There's, like, a
foot thing. I don't remember that.
That might just be me embellishing.
I don't remember much about that. That is kind of weird. Okay, I want to get back to the vor, obviously. Because that's a rich,
obviously.
That's a rich vein. But
obviously. Oh, what? No, I forgot to mention giant fetish, too.
Oh, yeah,
because he gets big.
Well, is it giant or is it expansion? Because, like,
no, it's regular size. Like, there's no part of him is, like, engorged. He's big.
Then maybe I don't mean expansion, but isn't there, like, don't people make a distinction in the the community?
Exactly. No, the inflation.
No,
part
I mean,
that
like,
I'm remembering is like because the toads,
I mean,
are afflicted by a virus that makes them turn into big juicy orbs.
Listen,
like spheres.
When I log into doujinshi.gov. And I
an incognito,
yeah.
And on your non covenant eyes browser.
On a different, I open up Opera, and I log on to doujinshi.gov, and I go to the tags and I look for Super Mario, and then I look for cross tags. Isn't there a difference between like the character starts out normal size or at least like at human scale and then they go to giant versus like you just open up page one and it's like, oh wow, how did I find myself inside this giant's underwear? Like aren't those two different things?
I regret to inform you, you've reached the limits of my knowledge
of
this particular fetish.
I depend on you for that.
No, I don't know. I don't know the nuances.
You're sort of the
I'm a poser.
My Sherpa through DeviantArt.
That's gonna be fun when that comes out.
Fetish community, please reach out to us on Twitter at podcast will never help you, or
PWNHY,
and just let us
you
know.
You did it.
Yeah, I did it. Okay. I took it slow, but I did it. I'm going to speed up that part. Please let us know if right or wrong, if YN/N.
So
yeah.
Basically, Death Stranding is just Kojima's excuse to just act out a lot of dark fantasies.
There's a lot of fetishes in there, I think.
Norman Reedus.
There's a lot of stuff to explore. Like, there's obviously, like, okay, let's just get it out of the way. Haha, tentacles. Let's make some juice out of this low-hanging fruit. There's a lot of tentacles. Basically, tentacles apparently surround you every second, even when, like, they're invisible, so you don't even know that
they're
there.
What if they just, like, bap you? Like, they don't do anything. They don't hold you hostage or anything. Like, they don't, like, restrain you in any way.
They don't tie you up. They don't turn you into a dick.
No,
or turn
like
into dicks.
It just, like, kind of just boops your nose.
Yeah.
Or just kind of just bap baps.
Just sort of nuzzles the nape of your neck.
No, just completely friendly. Just very...
So just, like, playful, very platonic.
Exactly, very platonic tentacles.
Rated G. G tentacles. That would be, I think this game's gonna come out with an M rating anyway, so they might as well get their money's worth.
You think so?
Yeah. I think,
Rated M for Mads.
There's a lot of Mads. Mads is gonna get up to some shit. Do you remember in that, the original sort of cinematic trailer where he's, like, in the tunnel, and he's chasing Guillermo del Toro?
You could be lying, and I...
Are you serious?
All of the cinematic trailers are just a blur of Mads, Del Toro, and Reedus.
Yeah, but he's... Okay, so Del Toro's going... Like, he's got the baby, which, as we discussed, is Norman Reedus without his mushroom. And he carries baby Reedus
into... Depowered Reedus. Punished Reedus.
Punished Reedus.
That's Venom really good. Reedus. I would love to start referring to babies... Like, looking at baby pictures of people as just, like, punished versions of themselves.
Yeah.
This is me, punished Scabby. Barely 5 months old.
I had a little horn on my head that I made out of a cardboard tube.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Chasing Del Toro, yeah.
Yeah, and he's in the tunnel. I don't... The bit's gone.
I'm sorry.
Talk about how Mads makes kind of a sexy face when he's in the tunnel.
I mean, he's always making a sexy face.
Yeah, but he it's the thrill of the hunt for him and his...
In darkness and silence of the night?
Can I just say, I just realized something. You know those fucking memes about the Skeleton War?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this game is, dude.
Why? What? I haven't seen a single skeleton in this game. What are you talking about?
It's literally the Okay, in that same trailer that I just described where he's chasing Guillermo del Toro and Punished Reedus through the tunnel, he's dressed like a soldier. He's like a soldier, ostensibly. Some sort of creepy Kojima-verse zombie sexy soldier. And he's got, like, his fire team around him. And his fire team, like, originally, like, they surround him and they're sort of silhouetted, so all you can see is, like, their dope armor. But then he detects Del Toro in the tunnel, and he's like, okay...
Del Toro detected.
That's literally what happens.
Trace amounts of oh, fuck it. I don't
plus,
know. Magical
plus,
realism.
Plus one Del Toro per second. Okay. A baby floats up and hits Mads on the leg, and that's how he knows that Del Toro's in the tunnel. And so he sends his fire team out, and then as the fire team walks forward, the light hits their faces, and they're all skeletons.
Oh,
like, that's supposed to be, like, a big...
vanished.
No, they like, that was the reveal, is that, like, Mads is normal, but he commands skeletons for some reason. This is literally, in the most literal sense of the words, the Skeleton War.
Oh, I see.
So that's Death Stranding.
Still don't know anything about
I know even less now than when I went into it.
Yeah.
Because your bewilderment is now making me doubt my own sort of memories of the game.
So you want to move on to...
Yeah.
You want to talk about Tomb Raider?
Yeah, let's talk about Tomb Raider. Let's discuss Tomb Raider. So, I'm...
Tom Raider.
I'm getting into the new Tom Raider, because there was a sale on GMG, and it's, boy, I only had one thing to say to you about it, and I tested you about it. These graphics are pretty whack.
Wait, from Rise of the Tomb Raider? Yeah,
Rise of the Tomb Raider from 2016.
That's strange, because I remember because it was one of the first games that I got on my, like, PC that I bought for way too much money.
Yeah, the big rig.
And I bought this one. Yes, my big boy
the
rig.
The Widowmaker.
I tried purchasing it, and they went like, you sure you're ready for this, kid?
Yeah.
Once I clicked on the, like,
where's your parents?
Checkout. What's your power level at? So that was one of the first games that I tested out on it to see more or less like whether or not I made a huge mistake. Did you...
Don't mistake me.
Did you go to the control panel and hit optimize on that bad boy?
No, I did not. I did no such thing. But I don't need to, because don't mistake me. I don't mean that the game looks bad in that, like, obviously the textures are like 1200 by 1200. You know...
The ambient occlusion.
The occlusion is so ambient. The field is deeper than it's ever been. It's like the tessels are elated, and everything's good. I've got
these rays could not be more in touch with God.
Yeah, the aliases are fully anti'd, but the
aliases are 100% anti'd.
Listen, it's just it's weird shit. It's shit that's like, I guess it's not, okay, I guess calling it the graphics is not really accurate. It's more like stuff in the engine. I will, for example, I'll take a jump funny, and I'll grab the ledge, and suddenly I'll pop up, like, 2 feet to the right of where I landed on the ledge, or I will be...
That's one of her powers. She's a... her dad is Nightcrawler.
She's a jumper. Like, in
that's,
Jumper?
That's the reveal of Shadow of the Tomb Raider. She's a jumper.
Tomb Raider is just a huge prequel to
Hayden Christensen is Tom Raider.
With Samuel L. Jackson as the white lady who betrayed her.
God, he has range.
He's in everything. It's not good, though. Like, it's not... I don't think it's nitpicky to be... Like, for a game that looks this good and has this much of a budget and a following behind it, and is otherwise a great game to play, it's, like, it's frustrating. And I don't think it's good, and I don't like it. And I'm gonna complain about it, because... I'm trying to workshop this character... where...
The forum poster?
Yeah, forum poster... Forum poster who doesn't get a lot of exercise, I guess.
And is just getting, like, winded complaining about this video game.
Look, I don't like it, but we all make mistakes, and the mistake that I made was thinking there was enough meat on this bone to put it on my podcast. Tomb Raider's a great game.
I went back to Yakuza 0 recently. And the way that I got myself to do that was by purchasing Yakuza Kiwami, which is a remake of the first Yakuza.
Okay.
And that way I was like, well, now I have to finish this one because I bought the next one chronologically. This is the life hack for how to beat your mental illnesses. You just kind of you undermine yourself constantly.
Yeah.
And that's how I got myself to finish it. Yakuza 0 is a good game, hon.
Is it on Steam?
No, but
that's a bummer, man. That really blows.
You would love this game so much.
I bet.
Holy shit! It's one of those games that's almost tailor made for you.
The only thing missing is
like respecting women.
That's my shit. That's my favorite achievement.
That's my favorite Yakuza fighting style: respecting women. It's Beast, Rush, Brawler, and respect women. It's the most powerful one.
Just for the benefit of the fans at home, can you give me an example of another game that's tailor-made for me? Just so that we have, like, a cross-section. We can triangulate between Yakuza 0 and whatever else.
Fuck.
My tastes.
Well, you have varied tastes, but, like, this is basically...
Thank you.
Japanese sleeping dogs.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. With more of a focus on the crime element. Like, organized crime element.
Which, frankly, was the part that was missing from Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah, too much cop.
Because, too much cop. Like, there was, like, that game was a pretty even spread, like, pretty clearly 60-40 criminal cop. That was still too much cop.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, So the way that it plays is basically they made Streets of Rage into a 3D fighting game, into a 3D game. Like, it's really just
nice.
It is the modern equivalent of the brawler, you know, of the beat 'em up. And it plays well enough to where it can either feel like too much or it could feel too shallow because of the way that it handles introducing concepts to the player. Because technically you could just stock up on like health items and whatever and just kind of stumble your way through fights and stuff and not really engage with it, and you can just kind of like mash like your basic attack and just fumble your way through the entire game and think like, oh well, I guess I love everything else about it, but the combat was kind of, you know, standard brawler button mashy type thing. But if you got into it and kind of explored the different styles that are available to you, and like you got into the more intricate parts of the combat, like that, even that is good. Like, it's a very well-rounded package, and like it's one of those games that has like a billion side activities, like a billion. Like, Juan, I managed property, and I was a I was the like a proprietor of like a what are they called, the clubs, the
brothel.
No, it was not a brothel, it was a host club.
Sexy massage parlor,
I guess. It was like a host club. Nice. I literally got into like turf wars with host clubs with
fuck, that's good.
And
I've been, when is Capcom gonna come out with that host club game? Host club game. Like, you choose your gender at the beginning of the game, and then whatever you choose, it just drags the needle back.
I'd play
it's
it.
Like, no, you want this one.
I'd play Capcom versus Ouran Host Club. I don't think Marvel is going to be giving them the license anytime soon again, so you take what you can get. but yeah, it's extremely, and I know that you love that shit, like when games have like inane crap that you can do.
Well, okay, now let's see. See, this is what I was afraid of, because this makes me sound like a dingus. I like inane crap when it's fun.
It is fun, and it's immersive, is the thing. Like, you can play Outrun in this game.
That's cool. That's good.
I think at least. I don't know if it's in Kiwami, because I went to the arcade, and I remember, like, this was like months ago. You can go to the arcade, you can win, like, little prizes for schoolgirls who are out late, and you want to get them off the street because it's dangerous, so you like win them like a little bunny. Oh,
fuck, that's good.
There are so many things to do, and I know that you love that because like you feel immersed.
Fuck yeah.
Initially, when we got the game, Brenda wanted me to get it because there's a side story where you save a chicken from a. I think it's from a fast food restaurant. I actually never, literally the reason we bought this game, and I never happened upon that particular side story. And man, you'd really, I fucking wish
it
was.
Is it, hey, I got a question. Hey, is it on Steam?
I'm sorry, Juan.
I'm sorry too. I'm sorry for myself.
You can get a copy of the first Yakuza, rip it, or if you have a disc, what we used to call a disc drive, you could get your BIOS for your PlayStation 2, right? And you could try playing that on your PC, emulated.
You are now giving instructions on, detailed instructions on how to pirate
no.
video game on our nationally syndicated podcast.
I explicitly said using your own BIOS. And
you know how in Breaking Bad they always sort of cut to a montage when they're doing the drugs because they don't want people making drugs?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're doing right now, except you're not cutting to
the
montage.
You're just sort of
letting Bryan Cranston go hog wild and say, okay, well, you add the muriatic acid, and then you add
the meth,
all the stuff.
Then you add the meth.
Then the meth.
And then the crystals.
And you get the meth.
That's if crystal meth were a Zelda food stuff that you could make in Breath of the Wild, it would be crystals. And
yeah, two units of meth, three units
exactly.
of crystal.
It makes the bad food noise at the end of it when you finish cooking. All right, but you should. God, I wish you could play Yakuza, man.
Yep, me too.
Fuck,
bummer.
Yeah, that sure is a bummer. Anyway, yep. Moving on to film.
Yeah, let's all go to the movies. Do you remember that?
Fly me to the moon.
Hey, good segue. I was talking a big fucking game about how much I like Sam Rockwell, but I've never seen Moon until two days ago.
Like his breakout role?
Yeah, his... That's a weird movie. That's a movie, like, if I could go back in time now and give myself a synopsis of what that movie's about, I would be like, whoa, that's awesome. That sounds like a really good movie, me. I'm definitely going to watch it now. I would just be to myself like, yeah, but like, hey, you know what, never mind, just watch it. That's how I feel about that movie right now. I definitely don't dislike it, but it's definitely, okay, here's the only negative thing. Let's get this out of the way. Kevin Spacey plays the adorable robot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
That's a bummer.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I totally Kevin forgot about that.
That movie's a lot, like, wow. I used to, like, when I saw Interstellar, I thought it was really sort of groundbreaking and thought, like, wow, Nolan's done it again. He knocked it out of the park and really delivered the gold standard of a humans in space story.
Is this a bit?
He fucking just cribbed Moon. He just remade Moon.
Just like The Dark Knight. He just remade Godfather. Yeah, go ahead.
He saw Sam Rockwell and was like, okay, but who's even twangier than him? I can go bigger, I can go twangier. And he got Matthew McConaughey. Who's like
the twangiest
man in Hollywood. He just got finished doing True Detective. He was still very twangy. But it's
residual,
like,
twang.
There's a lot of, like, the same beats. Like, it's, like, man in space, and he's, you know, trying to, like, save humanity at great personal cost to himself. Very twangy.
Is that Moon?
That's Moon, yeah.
Is Sam Rockwell saving the world? I didn't know that. I thought he was just kind of researching shit up there. I don't remember.
Like, the bedrock that the movie, like, and this is very purposeful, the movie starts with, like, a commercial of the energy company that he works for saying, like, oh, we basically saved the world from global warming because now we get NBD, because we get all our energy from fusion by harvesting helium off the moon. And it's just one guy, apparently it's just one guy for 3 years at a time, pulling helium out of the moon, and then they go home.
All right. Right.
And so it is sort of that, you know, needs of the many. It's the same. It doesn't seem accidental or coincidental, even. And then, like, you've got a non-humanoid robot with a very humanizing voice and personality. And then there's even, like, literally, like, everybody's favorite scene in Interstellar is when he gets off the water planet where Wes Bentley dies because he couldn't run good. Sure. And he gets back to the ship, and time has gone by really quickly. And so he has to sit there and watch, what's her name, Jessica Chastain, grow up before his eyes, and he's still the same age. That's sure. Literally the exact same thing happens in Moon.
So what you're saying is science fiction is the same.
Science fiction, there's only one story, and it's Moon. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, like, a very good job from everybody, but Sam Rockwell is the only science fiction character, and Moon is the only
science
fiction
Could you say something to make people really mad and just say, way to go, what's his name, Duncan Jones?
Yeah.
But Christopher Nolan, da god, beat you to the punch.
That'd be so fucking funny if that. I did read that. I think Netflix is going to do a sequel to Moon now, and that's going to be hilarious when people go revisit Moon and they've already seen Interstellar.
How do they call it Moon 2?
Moon.
Moon: Moon.
Moon: Moon. You know why that's funny, right?
I know why that's funny. Yes. That's funny. Do you think that they get him to promote it, like, on his streams?
That'd be fucking great. Can you imagine that kind of synergy where we reach peak nihilism as a species and we just don't get, like, hey, that guy's got two moons. Let's give him our two moons. Nothing matters. Watch this movie. I'm Duncan Jones.
Speaking of Duncan Jones, what's he doing? He just did World of Warcraft and just kind of dropped off the face of the earth.
I mean, if you had done Warcraft, you would drop off the face of the earth. I would be on a beach in Mexico right now. I would go full Shawshank.
Full Shawshank?
Is that where he went in Shawshank? Did he go to Mexico? I don't even remember.
I don't know. I think he was doing something. He was working on something last I heard, and now I can't remember. He actually just something just came out by him, apparently. Mute. Oh, Paul Rudd's in it. Yeah, I've seen that promoted on Netflix. That's a thing.
Oh, is that the sequel to
Moon? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mute. Moon colon Mute.
Yeah.
Moon Mute. Oh, shit. Yeah, it's a spiritual sequel to his 2009 film Moon.
Fuck.
Sorry, it drew Paul unfavorable Rudd. Comparisons to Blade Runner. Excuse me, leave your editorializing out of my Wikipedia articles. Thank you very much.
Where do you think on the twangy scale between Matthew McConaughey and then at the very, very other end is, like, Stephen Fry? Where do you think Paul Rudd is?
I feel like
he's like right in the middle.
Depends. Is he doing Tane? So that's it for film today. This for this one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to move on to fine art?
Let's do a lot of fine art today.
So much fine art.
Abattoir is lousy with stuff for us to sort of dissect.
Right.
That's gross.
Yeah, I know, right? That's like a bad abattoir.
Yeah.
Give him a shake. And just beat the devil out of him. That's when you find out who your friends are.
Which of these you want to... Oh, go ahead.
Drake's arrival on... to the streaming scene.
Yeah, sure. Let's... Okay, so let's talk about Drake streaming... Drake, on Twitch.
Can I say, this story kept popping up in my feed, and initially I just, like, whooshed it away. Yeah. Because I assumed, as any rational person would, that Drake was just some streamer. Like,
me too! I did the exact same thing!
Just some dude. Okay, like, some dude named Drake and some dude named like, the other guy's name is Ninja. Big deal. Like, it's, like, big deal. Like, thanks.
They did themselves a disservice by, like, pairing him with the actual streamer.
Yeah.
Because, exactly, I just thought it was two streamers.
It should have been, like...
I'm like, whatever.
Here's the correct way to write the headline. Here's the fucking New York Times handbook standard way to write that headline.
Canadian philanthropist streams Twitch game.
No, not Canadian philanthropist. Travis Scott, Drake, and some dude... play Fortnite. Details at 11. Then I'm like, oh shit, it's Drake. It's like actual Drake. And Travis Scott, I know who that is. There's no streamer named Travis Scott.
I'm aware of that. The guy from Blink-182.
That would have been a wild stream.
He plays with Rock Band drums.
I was literally going to say he plays with fucking Donkey Kong drum controllers.
Great minds.
Yeah. Why is Drake streaming? I don't understand. Like, how does Ninja have this kind of pull in the rap community?
Well, the thing that has happened is that while other people were playing video games, everyone else started playing video games.
Awful.
But it was only one video game, and it was called Fortnite.
Yeah. Sounds...
And everybody else... Yeah. And now Fortnite is like Pokemon Go of 2018.
Very
as it appears.
Good job. Good job on that analogy. That's a very good analogy, and I'm going to edit out the big pause because that was a very good analogy. because that is all, you compared it to another game that also got way more praise than it deserved.
Here's what you're
Yeah, please. I think we're on the same page here. Go ahead.
No. I mean, here's what you're missing. I think you're missing the time before standardized controls, where you like there was the time before the crash and the time during the crash, the time of the spectrum, in the UK. Like, video games have always been wild. It's just that like there have been standardizations that have made it so that the people who have money to make video games go like, okay, well, clearly this is what people have like, so let's just keep doing this, and it reaches a kind of point of homogenization in that area, and then everybody else, the democratization of development tools has made it so that people who don't either don't care or aren't privy to that standardized that standard of like standardization or whatever.
Yeah.
Can just go like, I'm going to make a game where like it breaks all the rules. Because I can, like, I can get a Unity course for $30 a month, I guess, and learn it and make a game. So that's why video games are whatever now, because, like, not anybody can make a video game, but increasingly anybody can make a video game.
If you say anybody can make a video game, this is, like, we're getting into, like, Ratatouille territory now. Not anybody can be a great chef, but a great chef can.
If a mouse piloted me, I...
If you had, like, a roomy chef's hat, and your skull was genetically predisposed to be pretty flat and pretty easy to sort of get purchase on, even if you just had,
I'm
like,
just saying, if I found a drift-compatible rodent, I could make PUBG.
Listen, okay, democratization of tools, great. Since we're talking about fine art, could anybody make a video game? And by anybody, I mean Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, I feel like he, in trying to do what he has now rebranded himself as, in terms of it, like, oh no, I meant to make a dark comedy thing.
Yeah.
That's why it was so bad.
Yeah.
I feel like it would probably end up looking something like Deadly Premonition. Which makes it sound like I have something against Deadly Premonition. I don't really. I think it's pretty fun and it's a neat thing. And I don't think that there's any cynicism behind it. I don't think that somebody set out to I don't think it's the Sharknado of video games. I think if Tommy Wiseau tried to make a video game, it would probably end up being like the Sharknado of video games.
Do you?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I totally agree. Do you know why I wanted to talk about Tommy Wiseau in our fine art section for a little bit?
Why?
Did you see... I think I sent it to you, actually.
The Joker. Yeah, the Joker impression.
His Joker... No, oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry. Audition tape.
I'm so apologies
his
to
professionally produced audition tape by the fine people at... I think it was Nerdist, who were just like... Man, this is gonna be whatever we spend on this on producing this content, we're gonna make back just in pure clicks.
Droves.
Yeah, that is.
I didn't actually see it, but I saw people on like forums going like, maybe Tommy Wiseau would be a good Joker, and I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Boy, can we just do that thing that podcasts do sometimes and just like. Let's just leave the recording booth for a hot second so that you can watch that, because I really... It's something. It's not right, nothing. Pause. It's something.
I'm pausing. Pause. I'm pausing. Okay.
Yep.
Pausing. Wow. Okay, here's the thing. I think that if you went with a Joker who sucked in terms of, like, putting on a... like, a Joker who is bad at entertaining...
who's a bad showman.
But who is nakedly earnest in their performance, and in a way where you literally had trouble looking at someone be so earnest in their acting.
Yeah.
It could probably work, but not in a way that is anything but mean-spirited towards someone who is part of your production.
It's an act of hostility.
It is literally an open act of hostility.
Put that on celluloid.
Yeah. It is a declaration of war.
It is, like, do you know what really, what strikes me the most
about it? I felt like I was being held hostage while watching
that. Yeah, definitely.
I felt like my parents were in peril. Like someone was trying to, like, get me to give them money to, like, put a stop to something.
Yeah, it's like that nightmare where you're, like,
the negative energy that, like, permeates that YouTube link. I have to recover from that. I'm shaking.
It's something else. It's very, very upsetting. And
it's upsetting to me that something that is so like YouTubey is upsetting me.
The reason this belongs in fine art is because like it's not just that video that's like something to look at and shake your worldview a little bit. It's also, like, everything that video represents. Like, everything that had to happen in the universe to sort of get us to this point where
the historical configuration, the constellation of bullshit.
the butterfly effect sort of the recorded history.
A butterfly flaps his wings and I click on a YouTube link.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Fuck that.
It's fascinating.
Do you want to move on to music?
Yeah, let's get some hot jams.
Alright, explain your bit, Juan.
Oh, okay, so I've been wanting to talk about the sort of, I guess, alternative band. They're like, on my Google Play streaming service, they're classified as hip-hop rock, and they're definitely not that. They're not Limp Bizkit. It's do you know what Nerd is? Nerd.
No.
I don't know how they're pronounced.
I can't recall a Nerd song.
It's the band
song
that Pharrell was in before he got big.
I thought that was the
it's the band he was in. It was his Destiny's Child, you know. And he's sort of
wow.
Like,
that's pretty on the nose. he hit the nail yeah on the head there.
Yeah. But I mean, that's
the Neptunes,
what it was.
The Neptunes. I thought his thing was the Neptunes.
I mean, I don't know who that is.
Record production.
Maybe that's like
another
project.
No, never mind. That's a record production duo, apparently. Never mind.
Okay. So anyway, that's his old band. And the thing that I want to talk about is, like, they're kind of back now because they did a song, like, the original band, like, the lineup, the gang's all here. And they did a song with Rihanna called Lemon, which is pretty hot right now.
Okay.
It's a good jam. Everybody should listen to it. But as when it came out and when I saw who did it, who was behind it, I was sort of a little bit irked for a reason that probably will not make me seem like it won't cast me in the most favorable light, let's say. But it was sort of me going around, like, pacing in my apartment going, man, I genuinely was into Nerd before they were cool. And I'll tell you why I was into them before they were cool. It's because their sort of seminal record before this one was Seeing Sounds. Came out in, like, the early to mid-2000s. And they were at the perfect level of fame and operating within the perfect time frame for that record to make it into the sampling of free music that ships with every Microsoft Zune.
Right.
Yes. One of the first songs I ever listened to professionally, as, like, a professional teen who listens to music. Because it was on my Zune.
What a perfect snapshot, listening to Nerd on your Zune.
Yeah, that's a very... There's a lot of sort of... there's a lot of different layers of retroactive coolness / indignation. Like, there's this music, there's this device, there's just...
Wait, are you saying that the world did the Zune dirty? Not just Nerd.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because it's true, frankly. It was a revolutionary device. It brought radio to the masses.
There are dozens
before
of
Apple
us.
Did. There are literally dozens of us. We meet in Berlin. And also, by the way, like, talk shit, get hit. Because now the Zune is going to experience a massive cultural resurgence because, what's his name, Andy from Parks and Rec is going to whip it out in the new Avengers movie and people are going to go wild.
That's the new nostalgia.
He's gonna whip out that Zune HD that it was given to him at the end of the last movie and he's going to play fucking Seeing Sounds by Nerd on it and people are going to go wild. James Gunn is a big fan of Nerd.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to talk about.
All right.
I am very cool.
You are very cool. You're a very cool person who listens to only the coolest music before anybody else does.
Yep, definitely.
On your Zune.
Yep.
Alright. Well, I wanted to talk about Epilogio.
Yes.
Really, I wanted to bring them up because I've been waiting for forever for them to have something available on a streaming service that wasn't SoundCloud.
Nice.
And they finally have something out. Actually, this is a Puerto Rican band, so it's, you know, keeping it local.
Nice.
I actually saw them play live at, I think it was Club 77? Yeah. And when I saw them play, I actually, like, I was with a friend at the time, and I was like, I told her, like, hey, this sounds like Solasteria. Have you, you remember Solasteria?
Vaguely.
All right, well, they're a huge Latin American band. And yeah, I told her, like, yeah. Hey, this sounds a lot like Solasteria. And at the time, I didn't make a big deal of it. But then, like, apparently my sister went to the, she took a lab with the same guy, with the bassist of the band.
What?
Like, my sister, who was in the university, like,
yeah.
Went, like, she had, like, a, I think it was a biology lab or something, with the bassist for the band.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that was interesting. And apparently, the front person is, like, this huge, huge, egocentric asshole.
Whoa.
Who thinks of himself as the next Cerati, which is Gustavo Cerati is, like, the front man of, former frontman of Solasteria.
Okay. So this seems like, on paper, this seems like a recipe for disaster.
No, here's the thing. I love that shit. I love it when there's, like, a completely unrepentant, like, ego sense. As long as they're not, like, saying, like, just terrible shit. As long as they're not Morrissey.
Yeah.
I love it when there is, like, a narcissist in, like, just fronting a project. Because they're giving it their all, you know? And I'm not there to talk to the person. I'm not there to be in, like, their friend when I'm listening to a song. Yeah. You know, I'm here to listen to the distillation of what they want to put out in a music format. And a narcissist is perfect for that.
Can I just say really quickly,
yeah.
I can't believe I went with Stephen Fry when clearly Morrissey is the end of the twangy spectrum.
You're right.
I fucked up. I really goofed it.
Deeply goofed it. Or Tom Hiddleston, maybe.
Tom Hiddleston can get twangy, I bet.
He can get twangy.
I haven't seen Ragnarok, but...
It's very strange. He has this weird, weird twang throughout the entirety of it. Weird direction from Taika. But yeah, no, he's, like, apparently, like, this, you know, person, he's one of those musical collaborators who don't collaborate. Like, when they're with the band, they're just like, okay, you're gonna play this part, and I'm gonna do this cool thing on the guitar.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's what I'm there for. And this, they finally have something out on Spotify. It's, I think it's called Modo, came out this year. It's, I think, super... I feel like I try to put myself in their shoes as to how this happened. Like, I want to say that because of Maria being a thing and, like, there being nothing to do in Puerto Rico for, like,
yeah.
so long, I'm sure that, like, that was probably good for some musicians to go, like, well, I guess now I can just just crank this out.
Sort of, yeah.
Because it sounds very developed, you know, like, it's a very stylish record, like, there's, like, some diegetic shit in it, like, there are, ooh. Like, songs end, and you can, like, there's, like, transitions from one to another, like, there's, like, songs that go from sounding like an elevator, like, elevator music into, like, full-fledged song, like, it's...
I love that.
It's surprisingly, like I said, very stylish, like, I thought they were just kind of like, when I first listened to the band, like, on the stuff they had up on SoundCloud, it was just, you know, it was some nice tunes, but this, on the whole, it sounds, it's a lot more ambitious when I heard that he was, like, a huge asshole, I figured, like, well, of course, you know.
He better be cranking out, like, some hot jams if he's gonna be a dick about it.
Exactly, that's exactly it, like, that's part of it, like... I don't know if I'm alone. I don't know if, like, you agree with me on that, about, like, narcissists and just egocentric assholes producing pretty good stuff on like, usually.
No, I agree. I hear what you're saying. I hear where you're coming
from. Because they just, like, it's them, you know? Like, it's so rare to have music that completely, like, gives you the sum of a person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, they just throw themselves entirely into this project, because they need to have everybody hear who they are.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like you said, basically, it's not a crime to be an asshole in art.
I just wanted to talk about that because I thought it was neat that it was... I mean, I love it when, like, local bands that I kind of hear about, and I want to be able to say, like, hey, like, this artist whose show I attended in, like, on the island is, like, up on Spotify, and they... Like, that's always a cool feeling, and I love seeing their, like, releases pop up. And that's all I had to bring for music, really. I mean, I wanted... In case anybody wants a hot sluggage update, I actually listened to the full album is out. Esoteric Malacology is finally out.
Yep.
I've been listening to it pretty consistently for the past couple of weeks, and it is one of my favorite things to come out in 2018 thus far. I don't have a lot of interesting things to say about it, but it's a fucking banger after banger after banger. So, I really like that. I'm glad that it's out. And that's all I have to say about music. Okay. That's all that's been released in 2018.
Oh, okay. Well, we're hotly
music anticipate. Music machine broke.
Understandable. Let's talk about TV.
I'm sorry, let me untie it.
No, I got it.
No, don't stick.
Did I do that?
All right.
Yeah. So, I forgot what we were going to talk about.
Is it JoJo or is it Riverdale? You know, those are two pretty compatible. You can see where one might mistake the other.
Yeah, it's basically an adaptation. Tell me about JoJo.
Okay, so JoJo right now is nothing like I thought it would be. Okay. So, because it turns out the Dio is a vampire.
Was he not already?
No. So when the show starts out, there's like, but for those unaware, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is a popular manga that...
I can't fucking wait to hear how you condense this into like...
No, there's no, I'm not going to try. I will not, like, this is going to be a very stripped
it's just
down...
It's just a manga, you know?
It's just a manga. It's been around for a while. I'm watching the anime adaptation for it currently. So the way that it starts out, there's these bougie fuckers who are on a carriage or whatever. They fall off a cliff and they're about to die. And then these thieves or very shady individuals happen upon the carriage. And they're like, rad, we get to steal all their crap and we're going to loot these corpses. But one of those corpses isn't a corpse yet. It's Jonathan Joestar's... father who's still alive, and he's like, yo, I'm alive, could you please make sure I don't die and that my son also, who is a baby, doesn't die? And they're like, fine, I guess. And basically they owe a life debt to these sketchy as hell individuals who were about to loot their corpses, and they end up taking in their son Dio Brando. There are a lot of music references in this show. They take in their son once they kick the bucket, and Dio is the pettiest motherfucker in the universe, and wants to make JoJo's life complete hell. Like, that's an aspect of the show or the manga that I was completely unaware of. Dio is just a little shit who's just a bully.
Okay.
Like, he tries to steal JoJo's like girlfriend. He just like. Kills his dog, and he generally just tries to make just the pettiest motherfucker alive. He's just a shit heel. He's just a little
just
shit.
Bad news.
He's just a little shit, but like in the pettiest way possible, and like the pettiness just spirals out of control to the point where like there's this mask that the Joestar family has that kind of has these claws that. Poke into your brain and apparently turn you into a vampire.
What the fuck?
And so that's what Dio uses. You know, he initially was gonna use it on JoJo. He was like, this is the perfect way. I'll make it look like an accident. This is the best way to kill someone. So he goes out to test it on homeless people. He's like, okay, let me just make sure that this mask of death works on people. But he tries it on someone, and then they turn into a vampire. And he's like, oh, well, those weren't the intended consequences. But This seems, on the whole, to be a better outcome than expected, because now I get to be a vampire, and he turns into a vampire. And where I left off, Jojo burns his house down in order to destroy Dio. I'm going to go ahead and take a shot in the dark here. Dio is not dead, I'm going to say.
I'm in shock right now. I can't follow this.
It is really close to just like the anime version of just like, I don't even know. Like
I was listening to you talk about like Dio and how petty he is, and I was like, oh, okay, so this is kind of like a fun sort of snooty character, like a this must be like a slice of life.
That's the thing. It starts like it's a slice of life. It starts like,
you know, he steals his girlfriend. You know, they treat women like objects, so it's sort of like a contest between two young men, and it's like a coming of age thing. Kills his dog. What?
Yep.
That's gross.
Record scratch.
Yeah, record scratch.
Oh, and then he poisons his father as he's ill.
Okay, that's murder.
Just murder. He's just a murderous dude. Like, there's even a time skip, and in the time in between, because Jojo's father is like, enough of this bullshit, you two have to get along, you're basically brothers. So there's like a time skip, and in the interim, they become like, quote-unquote, best friends. Like, and the way that the episode opens, like, with the time skip, they're playing, like, football, and like, Jojo and Dio are just playing football together. They're like, the best together.
Okay.
And like, they're just unbeatable, because they have such great... They're just such good friends.
Okay.
But then, like, you hear, like, Dio's internal monologue is just like, I'm just pretending. I still hate Jojo. It's wild. Like, it just goes off the rails. Just completely. Like, Jojo has to, like, go to some part in, like, some shady part of London to, like, get the cure or get proof that Dio is poisoning his father. And when he goes there, he encounters this ragtag, like, bunch of thugs, I guess, who just random... Like, they just harass him, but then he beats them up so well. Oh, and BT-dubs, one of them is called Speedwagon. One of the, like,
nice, dude.
Violent thugs is called Speedwagon. And he
has... That was my favorite Monster of the Week bad guy from Speed Racer.
Speedwagon.
It was his evil twin, Speedwagon.
Hot, good episode. Yeah. By the way, Speedwagon, his big thing, he has a top hat that turns into a buzzsaw, I guess.
Not where I thought that was going to go. I thought maybe he had like a top hat shaped motorcycle or something, but no.
No, not at all. So Jojo beats them up so well with his fists that they go like, man, this guy's a real gentleman. We're going to just side with you from now on because you seem like just a swell dude. Like he just pummeled them into friendship.
A swell basically. Dude with swell fists.
Just very good at the punching.
It's so hard to make friends as an adult.
It's bizarre.
You just sort of go out and punch people.
Yeah, that's it. That's how you do it.
That's so weird. What a weird thing.
It's a weird show. Some people are like unsettled by the art style. Brenda doesn't like it.
I'll double that. I'll second that. I've seen like captures and stuff, and it's from like the anime, and people say like the manga is even more sort of exaggerated and sort of,
I love that,
weirdly like obsessed with certain features.
Like, I love that shit.
It's weird.
That's the main reason I'm watching this. Like, aside from the sheer absurdity, like, the thing is that, like, the way that it's paced and the way that things happen and the way that the characters are built, it literally is, like, it's basically, like, a gag anime, but that takes itself, that plays it entirely straight.
Yeah, no, that's what it sounds like they're trying to do.
If I told you that this was, like, an episode, like, a lost episode of Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo, like, would you...
Yeah.
Would you blink? Like,
God, I miss Bo 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 Bo.
That's Jojo. Jojo.
Jonathan Jojo Star.
Yeah. I'm sure I sound like an idiot to people who are actually like deeply familiar with all of it. Because like there's just so much of it, and I'm sure that like it just gets even weirder. Like I'm sure this is literally just the tip of the iceberg. But
of the Joe lore.
Of the Joe lore.
I mean, it's I think if anybody's deep into this lore, I think they'd probably be deep enough to understand where you'd be coming from. Because any rational person, I think, would look at this and have some trouble. The thing about it is, like, with stuff like this, is that you never know what ends up being important and what isn't. Like, which of these weird-ass things is, like, endemic to this story? And which is just, like, a writer feeling particularly capricious today.
Yeah, like, you don't know if... Is Dio actually going to be a vampire for the rest of the anime?
Yeah, exactly.
Is the Speedwagon lineage going to factor into this at any point? Are there other Speedwagons? Are there wagonettes? Or what is...
I haven't seen JoJo, so I'm going to use something I have seen as an example. Like, if you watch just one episode of Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo-Bo, like, you would be forgiven for thinking that, like, the nose hair thing is just a gimmick. Like, oh,
right, yeah.
Exactly. They were talking about him needing to trim his nose hairs in the last episode, and now this one is just going whole hog.
Anime, you know.
Anime was a mistake. Hayao Miyazaki.
Yeah. All right, is that it for the show?
That's it for the show, I think. Rad. I think we're out of time. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend. We can be found on Twitter via at PWNHY or on Facebook. So, yeah. Find new episodes every Tuesday on iTunes or Google Play, wherever fine podcasts are available.
And not so fine podcasts.
Where can they find you?
They can find me at Celestial W Trash on Twitter and A Song of Ice and Fire Pro Wrestling on Tumblr.
Yep, that's a good URL.
Thank you.
Yeah, you ready for that?
Where can they find you?
They can find. I just said it on Twitter.
But
I'm not gonna listen. Do it. Listen, say it. I don't listen. I don't need the weirdos who listen to this podcast to be following me on my Twitter, because that is now the Twitter that I'm putting on my business cards, and I need to keep a low profile over here.
Okay, fine.
Okay?
Gotcha.
They can find me on the B line inbound to Park Street in Boston.
Okay.
During the evenings and the mornings.
Gotcha.
Are you ready for that joke?
Ready.
Okay. I had a good one. I had one that I wrote specific. The thing about these jokes is that, like, when I made this idea, I thought it would be a fun way to sort of, like, test out jokes, but, like, a lot of this stuff that I have written down is, like, really made for more of, like, a stand-up sort of environment. It's really more, like, observational sort of riffing, and it depends on, yeah, it depends on me having, like, a brick wall behind me and having a lot of time to just, like, do body language and, like, crowd work.
Perfect. Well, then just ask our viewers to close their eyes.
No, I wrote a nice one-liner. I wrote a nice, good, palatable one that'll work in this podcast format.
Okay.
So, the day after Batman and Robin was released, wait, is that the one Joel Schumacher did?
Yeah.
Okay, the day after
Batman and Robin and Batman Forever.
Okay, well, either one works. Doesn't really matter. The day after Batman and Robin came out, Joel Schumacher was in his study reading the paper and seeing what the reviews were for his new crappy film.
Excuse me, but okay.
And the reviews were very bad overall. People didn't like it. It was real bad. And so, mostly they were complaining about how, you know, over the top and campy they were. And so he just starts, like, crying and sort of just whimpering and saying, like, oh, why don't people like my movie? And then, his butler comes in and is like, boy, Joel, do you want some wine with that cheese? Because the movies are cheesy and he's whining.
Shit, Juan. I don't know how much body language you could save.
No amount of body language is going to make that joke work. I think the thing that doesn't work is the butler.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Just edit that out. I'm a butler.
Make it George Clooney.
George Clooney walks in unprompted, throws a brick through his window.
And the brick says he wants some wine with that. There's a note strapped to it. That's what it is.
And then it explodes.
Exactly. There you go. Now it's a drill tweet.
Yep. Good night, everybody.
Hasta la vista.